I don't want to spend a lot of time on my early years, but I was driven by my parents who loved me. They did a great job, but they pushed achievement in academics, athletics, whatever, achieve and behavior and from when I was 5 years old and up. And hey, that will get you success. People will like you. It will get you significance and you'll get noticed. And it was true. I can't disagree with that. But my earthly father who loved me, I took the way he looked at me and I looked at him. And that's the way I looked at God. And I didn't know this for years. And that's the way I viewed God was, hey, I've got to do well. I've got to perform. It's all behavior based. And now, if you had asked me that last year, 5 years ago, I would have quoted scripture that would have gone against that. And I said, no, I'm saved by Christ. God looks at me through Christ. I didn't believe that. I just have to, it was a superficial belief. Now, did I believe I was going to heaven when I died? Absolutely. I believe Jesus died for me. He died for my sins, and he was my way to heaven. But as far as me being in him, I was a sinner. I'm guilty. I knew what was going on inside me. I couldn't even think of me being in him. I felt that unworthy because of I'm focused on my behavior. And when I say that, I had grown up in church. I read the Bible, and comparing myself to this word here, I was no good. That's the way I viewed myself. To y'all, probably not. Because you learn the verses and you learn church and you learn what to say, how to say it, when to say it. And I could sit down with anybody and basically make you think I got everything together, and I didn't. And that is one of the most frustrating things that you can experience is when you think you're living a double life. Hey, I'm portraying this, but I know who I am. I know I'm full of lust every day. By God's mercy and grace, I'm not addicted to pornography, but that was in my life from time to time, and it caused guilt, shame, and then confession, repentance, and I try to perform at that point. I'd go look at the next Every Man's Battle, whatever book was next. I'd read it, get fired back up. I'm going to put this plan in place. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get everything right. I'm going to do my quiet time every day. I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to get it right. 3 or 4 weeks, everything's going well. Something would happen. I'd skip reading. Sin would enter back in. And it's this cycle we'll talk about. It says sin confession cycle. And this went on for years and years and years. And Paula could see, she knew the frustration I had about not getting it right. I could not get it right the way, I'm trying to perform. And I did not even realize that at this time. Heck, I went to Promise Keepers, Memphis, under Promise Keepers in Mobile, Every Man's Retreat. I'd be at that. I'd get new accountability groups, all of these things to try to take away sin, but also to perform on the other side. And it just was not working. And, I didn't know what the true problem was. I'm trying to address a problem that which I see as sin is a problem, and obviously sin is a problem, but I'm approaching sin. I've got to get rid of this sin, and then on the same time, I've got to perform. I've got to do my quiet time every single day. I've got to pray every day. I've got to witness every day, and if I don't do those things, I have this view of God that's wrong. Hey, I'm not performing well. He's going to be disappointed in me, and it makes you feel... You feel horrible inside, and again, you come to church, and people view you as having it all together, and that's just like another knife in the side there. Like I wish people know what I was truly, truly like, but I got to keep this image up. So you get the picture. I mean, this goes on and on until winter, around February. It was Saturday night, or Sunday morning. Paula's like, "What's we got to get the kids up and go to church." I told her, I said, I don't want to go to church. And I said, I can't, as I said, Pastor Darrell can have the best sermon that he's ever preached. And I'm going to leave there fired up. I'm going to get everything back in my head right, and I'll fail in 2 weeks. I said, I'm tired of sermons. I'm tired of self-help books. I'm tired of men's conferences. It's just not – I cannot find freedom. It's like I got a 500-pound weight on me, and it's just getting worse and worse. I'm just – you know, I was at a point – I guess I was kind of at the end. And I said, have I missed something? I mean, that's what's going on in my mind. Have I missed something? I've read this book. I've sat in. I've got to be missing something here. And he sent me it was an email, and it had eight little kind of PowerPoint presentations from a guy, Mike Quarles, that he wrote an email, and he wrote these things. And I got up that Tuesday morning. I was off, and I started reading them. And I read his email. I didn't even read I just read the email. The email changed me. And I'm going to kind of go through that briefly. But this guy was a stockbroker. He got saved about 33. Was on fire for the Lord. And in matter of fact, he's a successful stockbroker. He went to become a pastor. And he started listing, when he became a pastor, what he did daily. And it was 2 hours of quiet time. Hour dedicated to prayer, evangelism, you know, was wired in what he thought he had to do. But he became so frustrated because in his mind, he could not perform enough to please God. So he left the ministry, went back into Wall Street with E.F. Hutton, made hundreds of thousands of dollars, still so frustrated, became a full-blown alcoholic. Then, now he's an alcoholic. Now he's trying to break away from that. And he lists 30 steps that he did, trying to get everything you can imagine from secular to Christian, all of these steps. And I related, and I stopped there. I related to him. No, I was not an alcoholic, but I looked at the performance. I could relate to the way he was trying to perform. I'm like, I can't do a tenth of what he's done. And yet he hasn't found he hasn't found the peace and freedom either. And then you go down, and I look at the sin now he's in, the bondage he's in, alcohol. He can't break out of it. He can't do it himself. Neither can I break free from all my sin and strongholds. So now I'm ready. Obviously, I know he has a breakthrough. What is it? And this is a verse that helped change him. He was driving in a car because his wife told him just to leave and go to see some friends for just to get away. And he was driving, listening to the co-crucifixion of Christ. And this verse here, I'm going to read it. I have it memorized, but I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to read this. It's Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Okay, so I start to think, did I die with Christ? And I would answer, yes. I was crucified with Christ. I'm going to heaven. But this next question I ask myself, am I dead to sin? Absolutely not. That's what I thought. That's the way. I'm not dead to sin. I've spent the last 20 years trying to do all these programs, all these different classes I've been in. They've all, to me, I've viewed them as behavior-based, how to not sin. And I'm looking at this, and it says, for one who has died has been freed from sin. And I'm reading his dialogue there, and it's just starting to I'm free from all. I mean, it's done. And then I go over a verse that was always been very important to me, that I've always memorized from an early age. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We all know that verse, but this next part really struck me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And I'm like, so I'm sitting here trying to do what he has done. So am I nullifying what he did? Am I trying? I mean, I'm trying to accomplish something that he did for me. And things started to click. And I can't... All I can tell you is I was at my end point of frustration at 42 years old, and I just kept thinking, how have I not gotten this? And I just, sometimes it still baffles me to this day, but it's like I'm, this illustration you may hear about, but it's so true. I've been in a jail cell fighting to get out, this cell of enslavement to sin, and I have fought for years and years and years to break these bars. And as you know, Christ says, open the door. It's been open since you were 8 years old and received me. Walk out. And you know, it's so true. We're in this bondage, and as a Christian, we're searching for this freedom, and we're searching, and we're searching, and it's there. You know, he said, I didn't feel dead to sin. I didn't look dead to sin. I didn't act dead to sin. But I was dead to sin. Why? Because God said you are dead to sin. And he sees me as a saint. And I would have never answered, are you saved? Yes, but are you dead to sin? Are you a saint or a sinner? I would have answered a sinner up until I saw this point. And when I was able to say, no, I'm a saint, because God sees me as a saint, I'm in his family. I can't do nothing about it. He has adopted me, and I'm in his family. I can sin one time, 100 times, or 1,000,000 times. I cannot change that fact. There's nothing I can do about it. Boy, that's like a weight that was lifted off of me at that point. And how has things changed since that point? Well, for you that know me, I may not see a whole lot of difference. The change is in me and in my mind. I have a free mind. Do I read my Bible more? I read it more after that than I did before when I was trying. I'm free to read it. I enjoy reading it. It's not a duty for me to read it. I don't keep up if I read one chapter or 5 chapters. I read my Bible. I enjoy it. I don't count. Oh, I haven't done this in a month or 2 months or whatever. I don't keep a checklist on anything. I don't have to. I just feel like, I guess light is a word. I'm not just shackled, and so that's. I wish I could just spill over into what I went through that light switch to you. And I God's timing is perfect. And I wish I'd gotten this 20 years ago. I didn't, but. Just know whatever you place you're in, whether it's whatever it may be from addictions or whatever. If you're in Christ, you're free. There's nothing you have to do. You're not going to gain it. You're free right now. You just got to get that point for anything else to work. If you don't get it, you'll be like me, and you'll just go in circles over and over and over.
Thank you.